Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Again, to another edition of what I call American Exposé Listeners. Here it is Friday, and it's the 10th, is it? And the 9th of December, 2005. We have Bart Sibrill with us, and the video is a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. Welcome to the broadcast, Bart.
Thank you, Chris.
Privileged to have you tonight. You've, as I remember myself interviewing you just before you came out with the video about 7 years ago. And you were very excited about this video, and certainly where many people are skeptics to the moon mission, the Apollo 11 mission. What is the background in your thoughts about all this?
Well, I grew up as a kid as really the biggest fan of the moon missions. My father was in the Air Force, and he was given a courtesy package of photographs from the first moon mission, which I had up on my bedroom wall proudly for many years, probably from the age of about maybe 8 to 14. And then one day I was watching a television program that had on there a former employee of NASA who said that the moon missions were fraudulent. Well, fortunately, that idea caught me at a young enough age that I still had an open mind. And after the program, I went to my bedroom wall and kind of opened my eyes to the photographs. It's kind of like my eyes were wide shut.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I saw things in the pictures that I had never seen before because I had no reason to look for them. And for about 10 years, that was kind of in the back of my head, wondering, I wonder if we did go to the moon. Well, I ended up becoming a filmmaker, and one day I was doing some editing for a client, and it was the gentleman who actually produced that show I had seen 10 years earlier. And I said, do you remember the guy who was on your show who said we didn't go to the moon? He said he didn't, but call the San Francisco office. I did. They said they were just about to delete that 10-year-old file. I contacted him. He suggested that I do a movie about it. I initially turned down the idea of doing the film, figuring, you know, it might be true. And I knew I was, you know, enjoyed solving puzzles and was a relentless person. And I thought, thought probably better not to get involved, you know.
Yes.
Just in case it is true, it could be hazardous to my health. Well, if about 5 years went by and I decided, well, I'm going to die anyway, might as well stand up for what's right if, in fact, they did not go to the moon. So I started producing the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon.
When did that start for you?
That started probably around 1996.
Uh-huh.
And you can see samples of the video at moonmovie.com. And I was developing the film under the theory it might be true. We had certain evidence that you can see on the website, like shadows from one astronaut and another astronaut that should run parallel with one another, and a few photographs actually intersect. NASA, of course, says that the only sunlight, only light in these pictures was sunlight, so that the shadows should always run parallel, but in some of the photographs they intersected as much as 90 degrees, which to me indicates that it is artificial lighting. I mean, my job as a filmmaker is to make fake scenes look real. So I looked at that and said, well, that doesn't look right. Then I found out that Neil Armstrong, in the 35 years after he had walked on the moon, allegedly, had never given a single interview. Then I find out that the administrator of NASA, James Webb, has resigned days before the first Apollo mission. Then I found out the Soviets, you know, they launched the first satellite, the first animal, the first man, the first woman, the first spacewalk, the first crew of three, the first of two spacecraft at the same time, and spent 100 hours in space for only every 20 hours that we spent. So they had a 5 times superiority in space technology and did all of the milestones first. The Cold War was going on, the Vietnam War was going on, and of course, Richard Nixon was at the helm. And I thought, well, you know, there's a sizable, you know, at least a 1 out of 4 chance they didn't go to the moon. Well, as I was meticulously going through the archives at Johnson Space Center, I found a tape that someone had put the wrong label on 35 years ago, and it was the only unedited tape in the whole batch. Everything else had been pre-edited. And when you pop this tape in, it said on the screen, "Do not show to the public," and it was about an hour of a single shot of the mission, of which they only aired about maybe 10 seconds of it. And they were doing it over and over and over again. Neil Armstrong is on camera. The other two astronauts are on camera. It's dated by NASA's own clock as happening 2 days after they left for the moon. And they are faking a shot of just being halfway to the moon. It's the only photography that the astronauts themselves falsified. We found out that they were on the rocket, but they never left Earth orbit. And the shot that they were faking is of being halfway to the moon, allegedly looking back at a small Earth. It ends up being a fake shot because we have the outtakes showing how they're rigging it. Now, you can imagine my shock and horror when I realized, oh my God, that old guy that I talked to, you know, was right. And I thought we would never know, certainly in my lifetime, whether we went or not. And I was wrong. I you know, went from being the biggest, you know, fan of the moon missions to being the leading critic when I have this tape right in front of my eyes of them faking being halfway to the moon. Now, you have to ask yourself, if they really went to the moon, why would they fake any of it? And if they're faking being halfway, it's because they could not go halfway. And if the first mission's gear could not leave Earth orbit, we know that none of them could because all the equipment was identical.
And there you have it. Now, it's very, very interesting that you pursued this as much as you have over the years. What kind of controversy have you come up against over the last few years since your video's been out?
Well, all sorts of things. Everything from, you know, family members being upset about it to, you know, just associates being upset about it. People, it's kind of like the analogy that I use is, you know, the whole citizenry of America, it's like O.J. Simpson's children. Now, I don't know if the guy did it or not. However, he probably did do it. His own lawyer hinted after the fact that, yeah, he probably did do it. Well, if you try to tell his two children that daddy killed mommy, they will never believe it. They just, and that's the citizenry of America. We're so proud of this accomplishment. We saw it on TV. We waved flags. I mean, we're the ones who went to the moon, not the Russians, not the Chinese, nobody else. And to say that their daddy, you know, Uncle Sam, is a liar and a scoundrel, they're just afraid to face that fact. You know, what else would that mean? Can you imagine if you found out your father or mother was a mass murderer? I mean, and yet at the same time, wouldn't you rather know the truth than to pretend, you know, that it didn't exist, that reality?
Well, certainly. Did you try and interview any of these former astronauts to see what they would respond to?
Yeah, the making of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon took 5 years and cost $500,000 worth of research.
Hmm.
After that had been out a couple of years, I had the thought, well, why don't I just, you know, ask some of the astronauts to swear on the Bible whether they walked on the moon or not. Get a camera crew together, track them down wherever they might be, mm-hmm. and just ask them. So we started producing a second film, which took 3 years and $300,000 to make, called Astronauts Gone Wild, which you can see a great sample of at moonmovie.com, including one astronaut punching me in the face, another kicking me in the butt, another threatening to hit me, another threatening to shoot me, all of which we have on camera.
Mm.
You know, there is a quote, I believe, from Shakespeare, "Thou dost protest too much," indicating their guilt. You know, if I walked on the moon and someone thought otherwise and said, swear on the Bible, I would like, sure, I'll swear on the Bible. I'll swear on a stack of Bibles. Need me to do it? Need me to write it down for you? I mean, I would find it hysterical. I would not be upset. I would not be angry. I wouldn't punch anybody. However, if I were with my wife, and some guy walks up and says, hey, how's your mistress doing? yeah, I might punch him because he's revealing the truth to people who take me as their hero. And that's what I was doing. I was confronting him in front of the world and saying, hey, you're a liar. You did not go to the moon. You've been making millions of dollars off of this lie. And why don't you just come clean? Why don't you just swear on the Bible? And he would not do it. I asked Neil Armstrong to swear on the Bible. I offered him $5,000 cash to take 5 seconds to swear on the Bible. I said, go to Hawaii on me, give it to your favorite charity. Now, why wouldn't he help the poor? I mean, to 5 seconds to help the poor.
Yeah, good question.
And he started shaking like a leaf. He would not take an oath saying that he walked on the moon because he has never been put under oath on the subject. And you got to realize that, you know, the three guys who went to the moon on the first mission, two of the three did not give any interviews for 35 years.
Hmm.
I mean, that's remarkable.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And you've been punched out by one of these individuals, correct?
Well, Buzz Aldrin punched me when I asked him to swear in the Bible that he walked on the moon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And another astronaut kicked me, another astronaut threatened to shoot me, another astronaut threatened to hit me. They all get very upset, and you can just see them turning white when they're confronted with this, because, you know, most people don't realize that there are really only three eyewitnesses to whether or not the moon landings were authentic, and a television picture completely controlled by the federal government. There was no independent press coverage, no way to verify it, and still no way to verify it to this day.
What about the employees of NASA in the control centers as this was going on? How do you keep them in the dark?
Well, very easily. You know, one of the initial and a very good question is, well, how could you keep a secret from the 100,000 people involved in it? Because they simply did not know. You're right, 100,000 people could not keep a secret. Therefore, they did not know. All of those computer consoles that you see prior to the launch, I have a great shot of every single computer console right before the launch, seconds before the launch, and they're all just kicked back, doing nothing, watching television. They were all receiving the exact same information, which was a computer program. The flight director only admitted last year that the ground crew could tell no difference between a real flight and a simulation, no difference whatsoever. They were receiving false information from a simulation computer program, and they were on the rocket. I mean, NASA did their job. All those employees that made the rocket, the glove, the boot, the door, they did their job, and going into Earth orbit to this day is no small accomplishment. However, once in Earth orbit, they're out of view of the world, and we have proof that they never left Earth orbit, that they simply orbited the Earth for 8 to 12 days on each mission.
Now, that is relating to the Van Allen radiation belts? That's the scenario?
Well, yeah, most people don't know this, but there was a gentleman in the 50s who named the discovery after himself, aptly so, and it's a radiation field that surrounds the Earth and basically it starts at about 1,000 miles above the Earth, and it extends 25,000 miles. Now, every single space mission and every manned space mission in the history of space flight has been below the radiation belt. Gemini, Mercury, Skylab, the space shuttle, Soyuz, everything below the radiation belt except going to the moon. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that no human being has left Earth orbit since 1972? I mean, Lindy flew across the Atlantic in 1928. Do you think there would be a 50-year gap before someone flew over the Atlantic in the airplane again? And yet, they cannot repeat, you know, this technology. Do you realize the 747 aircraft, simply to carry people at 30,000 feet, that took just as long to develop as the Apollo rocket? It was that difficult to lift that heavy of an airplane into the sky. In fact, when it rolled out as a glider because they went through 200 engines, all of which exploded or malfunctioned. And finally, after 8 years, they finally found an engine powerful enough to lift it off the ground. The space shuttle has killed 14 people so far, and they only go 200 miles above the Earth. And yet we're to believe that a third of a century ago, with less computing power in the entire rocket than in my Walmart watch that I bought for $30, they went 100,000% farther than the space shuttle has ever gone, 6 times, and never killed anybody. I mean, that's remarkable when you start thinking about it.
Oh, without a doubt it is, and certainly we have to wonder what the space program is all about today, as we're learning that, here we see from September 19th of this year, the United States plans to send astronauts back to the moon as soon as 2018 on a mission that would be cheaper and more ambitious than man's first trip to the lunar surface nearly 40 years ago. And this is according to NASA Administrator Michael Griffin. Now, does NASA Administrator Michael Griffin, does he believe we originally went to the moon, or is he playing a game as well, I wonder?
I don't know. You know, I think it's even possible that the flight director at the time at NASA, I'd say, you know, there's a fair amount of chance that he did not know that the moon missions were staged. The fewer people who know, the better. You know, the administrator of NASA was probably 5 to 10 years old when they allegedly went to the moon, and he assumes that people went to the moon. I mean, people can be sincere, and they can be sincerely wrong. I mean, doctors just 200 years ago were bleeding people when they had the flu to get the cold out of them,
mm-hmm.
and killing scores and scores of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Copernicus was locked up, and it took 300 years after, pridefully, the world thought the Earth has to be the center of the universe and center of any solar system, because we're the center, we're the best. And it's the same type of pride that forbids people from seeing the truth that the government did not then and does not now have the capability to go to the moon. It took 300 years before people realized, oh, yeah, I guess the guy was right. The sun is the center of the solar system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you think about situations, I certainly spent a good part of my life very close to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, and they have these Mars missions now, the lunar landers, or what are the rovers, I guess they are. They have different names for these different vehicles that supposedly go to the Mars and do their thing. Do you think that's a possibility that is can't happen either because of the Van Allen radiation belts?
Well, a machine can go through the radiation. For example, you can X-ray a toaster 1,000 times and it'll still make toast. But if I X-rayed you, Chris, 1,000 times, you know, you might have a week or so to live.
Yes.
You know, so it's a little bit different. However, they still might be falsified simply because the government cannot be trusted. I would say, you know, I would say that most space missions are true, are genuine. The first probes to Mars may have been fraudulent. Aside from that, I don't know. I mean, I would assume that they're truthful, that they really are going to the places they're going to. It's completely different putting a man on the vehicle. You have to have all that water and oxygen, and they have to be able to survive galactic space and, of course, the Van Allen radiation, which is a completely different realm. People don't realize how difficult it is, and just the distance You know, if you had a globe, a standard globe is about a foot across, right?
Right.
If you put the height of the space shuttle, how far it went above the globe, mm-hmm. it would be one half of an inch above the globe. Mm-hmm. That's how far the space shuttle goes. And yet, we're to say, again, a third of a century earlier, that they went 30 globes away. 30 feet or a half an inch. That's the difference in scale between, you know, the space shuttle and what they allegedly did so many decades earlier. How can we be so much more advanced, so much further back to technological genealogy? It completely defies logic.
If you have any questions, listeners, 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. This article in September comes back to NASA wants to send a crew of four to the moon in a spaceship that resembles the capsule developed for the Apollo program in the 1960s. But this capsule would be able to land on either solid ground or water. The Apollo capsule only splashed down at sea. And according to Griffin, he says the cost of the moon program would be $104 billion, adjusted for inflation. That's roughly 55% of the cost of the first moon landing in 69.
Well, that's not true right there. The cost in 2001 dollars is $135 billion. So they've knocked it down from $135 billion to $105 billion. So it's really not that much difference in price. So it's really going to cost virtually every taxpayer about $700 obviously fake going to the moon again. George Bush said something interesting when he pledged to return to the moon. He said three interesting things. One, he said, perhaps when we go to the moon, we'll be able to find things in the soil that we can use as fuel.
Huh.
And I'm like, well, we were there six times before. I don't think we're going to find anything new in the moon dirt. Then he said, well, what we have to do first is to learn to protect our astronauts from radiation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, we'll just do it the way it worked so great last time.
There you go.
Because all the astronauts are alive and not a single one of them has gotten cancer. And then he said, going to the moon is a logical first step to going to Mars. Well, we went six times. I don't know why we're going from a bicycle back to a tricycle. If we were so successful at going to the moon a third of a century ago, why would we need to learn that lesson again in order to go to Mars?
Very good point.
If it were so easy to play golf on the moon a third of a century ago, we would have bases on the moon now. Surely.
And more than likely, certainly.
I mean, it would have a great strategic advantage. And yet, we're not there because we were never there to begin with.
There are people out there that talk about an alternative plan, an alternative situation where there are bases on the moon. You know, you've heard these people before yourself, I'm sure.
All that is misinformation.
Gotta be.
To get people to believe that that we are capable of traveling to the moon when we're not. I believe, you know, the majority of the time, all this UFO stuff is just baloney. It's misinformation to detract us from other junk that the government is doing.
Yes.
The fact is, the vast majority of people who believe in UFOs believe we went to the moon, and that's exactly what they want them to believe, because this is a large group of intellectuals. Well, they believe we went to the moon because have secret moon bases there, and we're communicating with aliens, and the inside of the moon is hollow, and it's filled with an alien civilization. Whatever, 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 as long as you believe we went to the moon, that makes the government happy.
You know, it's even funny, we hear that the Earth is even hollow, and there's a race of beings in the Earth, too.
Well, it makes good science fiction, you know, and that's exactly what the moon landings were, science fiction. You know, it involved science, them being on a rocket and getting into Earth orbit, and then the rest was fiction. And it's really sad that the government doesn't have the integrity to come clean about it, even though it was done 35 years ago, allegedly, as a Cold War tactic to fool the Soviet Unions into thinking we had equal space technology. Well, the Cold War is over. Why don't we just come clean? Well, because people will ask, well, what else have we been fooled about? What else, $135 billion, have you flushed down the toilet?
And where did that money go, I wonder?
Well, it went to all the people at the Pentagon. I mean, I just saw on NBC News Tonight or CBS News Tonight, ice trays. You know ice trays, those little plastic things
mm-hmm.
that you put in your freezer?
Yes.
When you buy them for troops to use in Iraq, they cost $20 each. That's
right.
Today. That's the corruption today. Mm-hmm. That ice trays cost $20. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's all corruption and friends of friends. The congressman who was just caught taking $2.5 million in bribes. Do you think he's the only congressman doing that, or is he the only congressman who got caught?
Well, it only makes sense that they're all bought as the progressional direction to our destruction continues.
I wouldn't say all, but I would say certainly more than we think. You know, it's just unbelievable. In fact, at moonmovie.com, you can see this footage. This footage of them faking the Earth in space, and it's just really remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable that it exists. Without it, I would say it's a theory that we didn't go to the moon. With it, it is proof that we did not go to the moon, that we never left Earth orbit. And it's just a sad state. I mean, it breaks my heart. You don't realize. I so much wish that they did go. The world would be a better place if I were wrong and they really did go to the moon. But they did not.
Some of these capsules and the vehicle that was on the moon, I believe it's at the Smithsonian Institution. Is that correct?
Right.
Have you gone to visit those ever?
Yeah, I have, as well as a couple other places.
What was your thought about looking at that vehicle that was on the moon? What did you think of that? And I'm sure it cost an absolute fortune, according to our government.
Well, yeah, the moon rover, for example. The moon rover is basically a battery-powered car. It has about two-thirds fewer parts than a Jeep, and yet it costs $60 million. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You know, the lunar module, I mean, there are pictures of that that look like the thing is made out of cardboard, and you could literally poke your finger through it. Von Braun originally said that if you could land on the moon, you would immediately have to go into a cave to save yourself from dying from micrometeorites. He said there was a 50% chance every 24 hours of suffering a fatality because of micrometeorites. Another interesting thing. They're sitting on the moon in this, you know, vehicle about the size of a large car, and it's 250 degrees outside. Well, guess what temperature they say it was inside? 72 degrees. Air conditioning. You know how they powered that air conditioning?
Oh.
Batteries. Liquid cell batteries like the kind in your car. Now, what you can do is take your Cadillac, take a couple of marine batteries, go out to the Mojave Desert, and when it's 100 degrees, turn off the engine, turn on the air conditioner, and see how long it'll keep that car cool and not drain the batteries. You might get 20 minutes out of it. But they're saying in some missions they were running that air conditioning 24/7 off of car batteries against 250 degree heat for 3 days. That's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and there it is. The scenarios presented for us don't make sense when we think about it. When you do your research, which you've done, and gallantly so for our country, and then you have the movie Capricorn 3, or Capricorn 1, I guess it was.
Yeah, Capricorn 1 was a dramatic film produced by Hollywood, I believe, in 1978, based on the initial gentleman who I saw on TV, his book, We Never Went to the Moon. It was about a fake Mars landing, as to, you know, not ruffle too many feathers, but everyone knew exactly what they were saying, that they did not go to the moon, that the people in Hollywood who knew lighting recognized that the pictures were not realistic, that they were artificially lit, not lit by sunlight. And so people who cared this film in order to, you know, cry out, say, hey, people, open your eyes.
Yeah, we have a commercial pause, Bart. Stay with me, and we'll continue with this broadcast tonight, listeners.
Thank you. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
FirstAmendmentRadio.com has made available a very low-cost satellite system special just for First Amendment Radio listeners. In conjunction with Rick Satellite, you can now receive a complete system, including receiver, LNB, and small satellite dish, all for only $169 delivered to your door. Go to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage and click on the satellite system link to order the First Amendment Radio satellite system from Rick Satellite. Or, if you don't do internet, call Rick Satellite at 816-228-1801 and tell them you need the First Amendment Radio satellite system. Go to our homepage to order or call Rick Satellite at 816-228-1801. First Amendment Radio receives no compensation for this service.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Okay, welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. This is American Exposé for Friday the 9th of December. We have Bart Sabril with us. Nicholas, do we have anyone? Okay, apparently no, we do not. Moonmovie.com is the website, moonmovie.com, and this video is not endorsed by NASA. obviously so. Apollo 13, that number 13, that very, very sinister number 13 in some people's minds. What happened with Apollo 13, and did you do any research into that, and how could those people be kept in the dark about that, that were employees of NASA at the time?
Well, the same way they were kept in the dark about the previous missions and the following missions. Apollo 13 is very interesting. When they went to the moon the second time, Apollo 12, people telephoned the networks complaining that reruns of I Love Lucy were being interrupted. For example, let's say right now human beings are just now reaching the South Pole for the very first time. You and I are watching it in the background on TV. Yes, they plant the flag. All right. 6 months from now, they're going to the South Pole again. You know, maybe we'll watch it. Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the public was the same way. Once we had accomplished that, it's over. They weren't interested. They thought that was enough. So the very next mission involved this drama, this life and death jeopardy to get people to watch and support the drama of the moon missions again. Get this, Apollo 13, and on April 13th at 13:13 military time, had this, quote, accident, Well, it was completely contrived. It was completely staged. It was probably the most deplorable of all the missions, and that they had the whole nation on their knees praying for the safety of the astronauts as they allegedly went around the moon, and who knew if they would come back when they were all in Earth orbit, just like the other missions for all the days they were up there. And it was completely contrived.
How many Apollo astronauts were there? Do you know? Do you recall?
Well, the main crews, there were three per mission. There were six missions that went to the moon, and then Apollo 13 that did not go. Well, of course, none of them went. So that would be 21 of them.
Uh-huh. And of all those 21, you've approached how many?
I personally met nine of them.
And in each case with the nine of them, you came against controversy?
Yeah, basically, you know, the vast majority of them do not give interviews. The few that do, we had to pay $2,000 an hour for their interviews. And what we did is we did the first half pretending like, yeah, we believe you went to the moon for the first half an hour. And then the second half an hour challenged them on whether or not they went to the moon. Under those circumstances, when I asked them to swear in the Bible, 100% of them did, which is very interesting. Now that they had BS'd for a half an hour on camera, they felt obligated now to swear on the Bible. But if you find them at book signings or public events or whatever and just ask them to swear in the Bible, they will in no way do it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that there's one group, you know, who won't, and one group who will. Only it's the ones who give you the interview for $2,000. And I think, you know, after they had BS such an amount, they figure, well, now if I don't, it'll look bad. It'll look suspicious. So.
It's very, very interesting to think that all this can be scammed on the people of NASA, the employees, as they're watching out for their paychecks. And certainly this situation with Gus Grissom and his crew, which happened in 1967, and it's not but 2 years later, and certainly I think Gus Grissom was the one that hung a lemon in the module itself, saying that this thing was a boondoggle. And I think Gus Grissom was a very, very patriotic individual, and I think he was he and maybe a few others were very, very disgusted with the Apollo missions.
Yeah, the way you fool everybody, first of all, is to fool the media and to fool NASA. In the mid-50s, there was the game show scandal. You may remember the $64,000 question, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Time magazine put on their cover the picture of this particular contestant, and above him it read, "The smartest man in America." Well, found out later, he received the answers in advance. He cheated. He was not the smartest man in America. Time magazine was wrong. Just like the New England Journal of Medicine 6 months ago said there's no problem with Vioxx, now they're saying, oops, we were deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, New England Journal of Medicine, that's the Bible for doctors. And now they're finally admitting that, well, the Bible was wrong. We deceived. We were wrong. And that's the way you fool the world, is to fool the media, to fool the people at NASA. And of the astronaut corps during that time, both the backup crews and the main crews, get this, 15% of them had fatal accidents within a two-year period, non-space-related accidents, and that's not including Apollo 1.
Hmm.
Can you believe this? Do you realize if there were 20 workers at your office, and what would that be, three of them, you know, suddenly had accidents? Don't you think the homicide police would be all over the place?
Yes.
I mean, 15% of them, these were astronauts who would not cooperate. Now, the last space shuttle that blew up was that Challenger, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It has been 3 years, and they still have not returned to space. So here we are, a third of a century more advanced. I mean, think of the computing power and cell phones and the price of everything just exponentially going down. So we should be so much more advanced than when we went to the moon. And yet after fatalities from just Earth orbit, it still is 3 years have gone by and we still cannot return to space. And yet a third of a century earlier, when we killed three astronauts on the ground, not even firing the rockets, we're all the way to the moon 2 years later. Mm-hmm. Now, that just defies graphs. I mean, that's like going backwards technologically. How could that be possible?
And besides the fact we were so embroiled in Vietnam, the Tet Offensive had already happened in 68, and here we are in this messy, messy Vietnam, and certainly today we have a messy Middle East. And our sons and daughters and fathers and mothers are off to war, in my opinion, for the UN system, the coalition forces. And here Bush is talking about going back to the moon, then a trip to Mars. Are you familiar with the Iron Mountain Report, are you?
No, what is that?
The Iron Mountain Report was done to find ways to convince people other than war to accept for future generations and directions what's going to happen, and how they're going to accept an artificial invasion from space, where Ronald Reagan has even said, well, suppose we're invaded by a foreign entity from outer space, wouldn't that be a great way to bring the world together to fight this common enemy, meaning an invasion from outer space, from aliens. This has been disclosed. It's on my website. The report from Iron Mountain was done by Sid Tolbert back in 1996. And this is one of the ways to galvanize everybody together. So we're thinking, myself and many others, that there's going to be an artificial invasion from space on this world, on this Earth, to make people accept a one-world global government.
Yeah, I don't know what they're up to, but we do know they're not going to tell us the truth about anything. Because they fake going to the moon, that is an absolute fact. To me, the faking of the moon landing is the keystone conspiracy. You know, it's the keystone fraud of the federal government. It's so grandiose. It's so pride-oriented. For example, when a pilot of an airliner is having catastrophic problems and they're going to make a crash landing, you know what they tell the passengers? Everything's fine, everything's going fine, although do get in your crash positions, but we'll be okay and whatever. Well, will they be okay? No, they're going to crash and the plane's going to catch on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And during the Vietnam War, you know, going to the moon was a pep rally. It was a way from saying everything's okay, everything's fine, see, here's something to cheer about, here's something to take pride in America. Because we had more civil unrest because of the Vietnam War than in the history of our nation, second to the Civil War itself. And what a great thing to happen at that time was going to the moon to say, hey, we're great, and to distract the passengers, the citizens of America, from what is really going on, and, you know, to give them something to feel happy about.
Yes, and this is the point. Here I see dated February 2004 from Popular Mechanics. It's entitled, When UFOs Arrive, What Will You Do? The U.S. government already has a multi-million-dollar top-secret plan ready to go. Well, when these space vehicles arrive on Earth, they will probably have been developed on Earth to create this scenario to us.
I have no idea, but anything's possible. You know, they can't be trusted. George Orwell has a great quote. He says, whoever controls the past controls the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the moon landings allegedly took place, what, 35 years ago. And some people are like, well, that was 35 years ago. That was the corruption of the government then. No, it's the corruption of the government today, because they're lying about the moon landings every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They continue to lie about it day after day after day after day until they come clean.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute power breeds absolute corruption. And this government, you know, will not come clean about the moon landings. Therefore, they are just going to control our destinies in a corrupt way. The truth has to come out in order to preserve the integrity of the country.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And is that going to happen? That's the multi-million-dollar question.
It's certainly an uphill battle.
Oh, boy, isn't it, though? After 10 years of trying to do my job, it's become quite an ordeal. I see here, dated November 2000, Popular Mechanics, Air Force's nuclear flying saucer, recently declassified information, may explain decades of UFO sightings. And they call this, they say here, from 300 miles in space, the LRV, will be able to rain nuclear destruction on the Soviet Union, Red China, and North Korea. It's a vehicle, according to Popular Mechanics, that's nuclear powered, that can stay in space for months. And once again, Is this a fact or not? We just don't know.
I'd say show us one little green man and I'll believe, you know. Statistically, you would think there's life somewhere else in the universe, and I've done the math on it. It's like if you take the odds of certain planets or certain suns having stars and those and be as conservative as possible, there could be 50 planets in the entire universe that have intelligent life. But if you average randomly put those 50 spaces apart from one another, it puts the light distance something like 300,000 light years away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we didn't have the radiation belt, we would not have any life on Earth whatsoever because it's a barrier to protect us from solar and galactic radiation. However, paradoxically with it, it prevents us from leaving the planet to step on another world. Well, that means any other planet out there with life on it, they're going to have a magnetic field and a radiation belt also, which means they're going to be forbidden from leaving their own planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. The fact is they didn't go to the moon. That's just a fact. And, yeah, show me one little green man and I'll believe, you know.
Certainly.
Until then, I believe that UFOs are used as misinformation by the government to cover up other things. For example, there was some UFO shot down in Pennsylvania, allegedly. I think maybe that was in the 80s or something. And it turned out that it was actually a Soviet satellite shot down. And that they had, you know, oops, leaked out deliberately that it's UFO in order to cover up the real fact, which is that we did not want the Soviets to know that we were in possession of their satellite technology, because then they would change the coding on it.
I see.
So we used the UFO as an actual cover story. There's like two layers of a cover story. The official cover story is that it was a meteor, and the oops, let's accidentally leak it out that it's really UFO. So that's what people run with. But that's the sub-cover story. And what the truth was is that it was a Soviet satellite.
Uh-huh. And so I'm sure you're aware of these programs on various history channels, Discovery Channel, where they talk about alien abductions and things like this. And then you have the crop circles that we hear about. Different directions beckoning people to believe the stories and the lines. Abe, welcome to the broadcast.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I have a question as far as the tape that he has made.
Yes.
How can you get a hold of it?
Yeah, you go to moonmovie.com and you can order it online individually for $30, or you can get a set of four for $60, which brings them down to $15 each. They're on DVD. The first one, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, cost $500,000 to produce, and it contains the newly discovered footage of false photography from the first moon mission, proving that they never left Earth orbit. We also have Astronauts Gone Wild, which is me confronting 9 of the Apollo astronauts and interviewing them and challenging them on the authenticity of the moon landings. Alan Bean said right on camera, we didn't go through the Van Allen radiation belt. Oops. Oops. And then we have Monkey Business, which is the raw footage of the fake footage in its entirety. We show about 10 minutes of it and A Funny Thing Happened, and then we have it also as a DVD in its entirety. And then we have the press conference, the one and only press conference that the astronauts gave. This was transferred from 16mm film from two different camera angles, synchronized, color-corrected, and the expressions on their faces are just remarkable. They look like they're at a funeral for an hour and a half. I mean, if I went all the way to the moon and back, you know, some 500,000 miles or more, and did not die, and got to see my wife and family again, you couldn't wipe the smile off my face. And you can see an excerpt of this at moonmovie.com. And they obviously look like they're under pressure and are just soured expressions on their faces after they allegedly accomplished this great feat.
Do you think there is any possibility that the film itself could have made it through the radiation?
Well, the pictures, the still pictures on the moon certainly look too clear. Any photographer will tell you that if you go from 250 degrees Fahrenheit in the light and minus 250 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade, you're going to have fogging in that film because of the dramatic temperature change. There's not a single film of frame that has fogging on it. Also, you have micrometeorites, which are traveling at 40,000 miles per hour, which should have produced radioactive streaks through the film. There's not a single shot of film that has the streaks in it.
As far as getting through the radiation itself, though, wouldn't have that destroyed the film?
Well, I suppose if you really could go to the moon, you could have put it in some lead container, but there was no lead shielding anywhere on the spacecraft. So, yeah, it probably would have distorted it in some way.
I guess you didn't buy the story with 9/11.
I'm sorry?
I guess you didn't buy the story with 9/11.
Well, that's currently under review. The best, you know, argument that I've heard on it is simply that buildings don't collapse that way from fires. That, you know, there are other examples of buildings that were on fire that were, you know, solidly built. And, you know, all the frame is still there, so that the fire really couldn't have caused that collapse. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the best argument that I've heard so far. All that we do know is that the government who faked the moon landing and their apprentices are in power, and they cannot be trusted.
Isn't it amazing how the public will just sit back and say, well, these people lied again?
Yeah, it is amazing. I don't know, what is it going to take? You know, to me, I think if the moon landing fraud came out, maybe that would be the finger out of the dike. That would be the encouragement. That's why I call it the Keystone Conspiracy, because I think that would be enough to wake up the public. You know, these other events are little pricks, you know, in the arm or the leg, but the moon landings, if that came out, that'd be a bucket of water in the face. It would be, oh my God, you know, we have been deceived, we have been misled. You know, it's the country we're at now and the country of our founding fathers are so far apart from one another, it's just mind-boggling.
It's a shame what's happened.
Absolutely. It is.
It's a shame, to put it politely.
Well stated. I understand your point.
Okay. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Abe. For those that aren't computer literate, and there are some of those out there, is there a way to order these videos or get a catalog of any sort?
No, I would just write it down, moonmovie.com, mm-hmm. and then have a friend or go to the library and order it online. You need a credit card, and it's $30. It's on DVD, and you'll see the footage, and you'll know for a fact that we didn't go to the moon. Of all the people we've shown it to, people who previously thought we went to the moon, 4 out of 5 people reverse their opinion when they see this 47-minute film.
I can certainly understand that, and I relate to it totally. What about those that want the VHS video? Is that still available?
Yes, VHS is available on A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, and the other 3 films are just on DVD.
Okay, there it is. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon on VHS, and the other 3, Astronauts Gone Wild, Apollo 11 Monkey Business, and I'll bet you that's interesting, and the Apollo 11 Post-Flight Press Conference. Yes, I've seen these individuals in other pictures, in other publications, and they all look like they're not very happy with what they had to do.
Yeah, it's just astounding. And we show the press conference for about maybe 20 seconds in the first film. And yet, probably 1 out of 5 people say that's the most convincing evidence to them, is the expressions on the astronauts' faces at the press conference.
Yeah.
It doesn't look right. So there's something, anyone who can read people, and that's what a judge tells a jury. He says when a witness is on the stand, just because they swear that they're telling the truth doesn't mean they're telling the truth.
That you
are called to read into their behavior and their mannerisms and their expressions. You know, during the game show scandal,
mm-hmm.
124 people swore on the Bible that it was not rigged, and they all later recanted. Can you imagine?
Boy.
They swore on the Bible just for a few $1,000 and lied under oath for $1,000, much less, you know, the reputation of America or the communist or whatever, you know, people in their mind have for doing it. What I say is that, you know, murderers have a reason why they kill. Thieves have a reason why they steal, and liars have a reason why they don't tell the truth. You know, that doesn't make it right. You know, the people and the government, whoever did this and are continuing to do it, sadly, in their own minds, are deceiving themselves into thinking, well, this murder is right, and this stealing is right, and this lying is right. You know, it's just not. You know, it's just not.
Now, Gordon Cooper wasn't one of the Apollo astronauts, was he?
No, not that I'm aware of.
And I see that he's, let's see, he was in the Mercury program, and he's had his ashes launched into space, according to this article that I see here.
Well, he's then traveled farther than any human. Because he's gone past the Van Allen radiation belt. And the only way a man can go through the radiation belt, he's proved it, is if you're a dead man.
There it is.
To begin with. Otherwise, you'll end up as one.
There it is. You also offer the congressional investigation of the Apollo 1 fatalities.
Yes, that's very new. We've just put that on the website, moonmovie.com, just recently. We spent, gosh, probably a total of getting close to $30,000 buying this original documentation from the states of the deceased astronauts, scanning it, editing it, and just spent hours and hours and hours. And this is available on Data DVD. It's the congressional report of the Apollo 1 fire. Gus Grissom was an outspoken critic, and he was to be the first person to walk on the moon. And like you said, he affixed a lemon to the spacecraft shortly before he was burned alive in it, calling the press's attention to the fact that the machine that he was to pilot to the moon was a lemon. Now, you can imagine the government did not want that guy, you know, part of the plane ball team, because he... had he been asked to fake going to the moon, he obviously would not have cooperated. So when he had become such an outspoken critic, a fatal accident on his part alone would have brought too much suspicion. So they burned two other guys along with him. You'll read in the congressional report where cyanide gas was found in the capsule. And so what I believe is that they were actually murdered by cyanide gas, and the fire was to cover up the means and the method of the homicide. They were still buckled in. And you better believe it, if the thing starts catching on fire, the first thing you're going to do is undo your safety belt. And the fact that they were still buckled in means they died before the fire. And what a coincidence. I mean, the space program, the top people in the space program, the top 200 people were all former Nazis. And what were they known for? Gassing and burning people. An original idea.
There you have it. Wernher von Braun. He was head of NASA at the time, wasn't he?
That's right.
Wernher von Braun, and he was head of the rocket program with Nazi Germany.
He was the top scientist to get us to the moon.
Isn't that ironic?
And he originally said in his paperwork, which we have found, that in order to go to the moon, you would need three rockets, each taller than the Empire State Building, weighing 30,000% more than the Apollo 1 rocket weighed.
Wow.
Now, could the guy be off on his math by 30,000%?
Well, Bart, I sure appreciate our time together. It was wonderful.
Likewise.
Moonmovie.com is the website, listeners. And Bart, I appreciate your time. Thanks again.
No problem, Chris.
Good night now.
Good night.
And listeners, that's it for tonight. We will continue next week. Nikki Rapana on Monday. Next week, a review of our global neighborhood, a 31-page review of that next week. Good night. God bless you all.
Gold and silver is